Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, students, to another class. This is December the 6th, 2018, and I want to welcome each and every one of you to class again, to Amazing Grace School of Ministry, our fifth class, and certainly we have one more to go. In this class, we will be discussing defense mechanisms. I want to say thank each and every one of you that sent back the test. I have received one test, and I have received 2/16 personality results, and I do appreciate that. But I think some of you kind of got the personality assignment or the character traits or personality traits kind of confused, or maybe you guys still haven't done it. But I sent out an assignment that I needed you to answer three questions. And they were, what character trait, positive or negative, can you identify that has been passed down through your generation, through your family? The reason why I chose this question is because the new quarter, or the new Sunday school quarter, we have been going through the beginning of the Bible. And actually there was a lesson on Esau and Jacob. And Rebecca had two sons, and of those two sons, their personalities were very distinctive, and they end up being two nations. And my question was, because we were talking about personality traits, and we talked about what they were, what they are, and basically some distinctions, some characteristics, I wanted you to identify some traits that has gone down your family line and how those traits have affected you personally. Were you disciplined a certain way? Did your mother feel a certain way? Father, a lot of times fathers tend to be like their sons. I know that this generation or this millennial generation is changing, but there's some roots or there's some traits that you can certainly go back to and identify in your family tree. And I wanted you to talk about how that has played out in your family, the legacy, how all of those traits, how all of those characteristics in your family have played out to now in your relationships with individuals, but your relationship within your families. So that was what I was looking for in that assignment, and maybe I'm still going to get those. I certainly appreciate those of you that have made an effort to work and to do the assignment, and I want to say that I understand that there's life challenges, and I tell you, I recognize that, and I have had my own life challenges. Certainly, I was supposed to get the new test out to you on Sunday, and I know that you have just received the test for the last two classes just yesterday, and I do apologize for that. When you're taking care of your loved ones, when you have you're trying to work and you are a caregiver, there it's a hard task, and certainly I want to encourage all of you that are making an effort to get these assignments in, and that's why I try to be flexible to help you, to assist you in any way I can to get this information. Now, I sent out a test that's actually, I think I'm going to narrow it down to, because it might be, if you say, Dr. Carey, I can't do three, but I can certainly do one, then I'm going to say, okay, just do one. I'm really going to be flexible. So I sent an email out, and this is the second test, which is on personality disorders. Now, this is a Christian ministry course. Because my background's in counseling, I put counseling on it. But the key to this course is for you to recognize and understand that there are going to be individuals that's coming into your ministry that certainly have unique personalities, and some may even have disorders. And the test for the second two classes on personality disorders is that I need you to identify how you would deal with one of the three that I have talked about in class. So I talked about the paranoid personality disorder, I talked about the narcissistic personality disorder, and I talked about the dependent personality disorder. So how would you deal with those? How would you deal with that individual? And certainly I also emailed my notes so that you can look at the examples. There are little bullet points or little cartoon characters of that outline each one. The paranoid personality disorder, the narcissistic personality disorder, and the dependent personality disorder. And certainly you don't have to come up with a treatment plan because I'm not asking that, but how would you deal with them in ministry according to the Word of God, according to your knowledge of the discussions that have been discussed in class and the information that you have received? So I want you to give me an outline plan of how you would engage this individual and empower. So how would you engage? How would you empower? And certainly how would you show Christian love and embodiment and Christ's love to that individual to help them move towards salvation and towards all that they could be in Christ Jesus. So that is the assignment, and it's due December the 13th. But if you need more time, we can do that. Certainly December 13th next week is our last class on defense mechanisms. And on that class, we will talk about whether or not you need more time to get the work done and how long you think you would need, certainly to get the final assignment in, which the final assignment will be on the discussion of defense mechanisms, which we are talking about on this evening. So we're going into defense mechanisms. Why defense mechanisms, Dr. Carey? Why have we been talking about the uniqueness, personality traits, disorders, and defense mechanisms? We're talking about this because, first of all, we're made in the image of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are made in three parts too. We have a body, we have a spirit, and certainly we have a soul. And that soul, out of that soul, we operate, we function, we move. And the soul tends to be the totality of who we are and what we are, which scriptures give reference to. So when we look at the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Mind, will, and emotions. So when we begin to discuss defense mechanisms and we begin to talk about defense mechanisms, and I didn't pray, let us open up in prayer. Father God, I thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We exalt you, we magnify you, we praise your name. We thank you, God, for my students, God, that are on the line. I pray, God, that you'll bless them abundantly. I pray even now, God, whatever the situations are in their lives, God, strengthen them and certainly encourage our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, be in this class. Holy Spirit, direct us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, enlighten and give me the information that you want them to have, and bring all things back to my remembrance. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we are talking about defense mechanisms. So when we look at who we are, and I said the soul is made up of mind, will, and emotions, and we look at the mind, the traits, the temperament, the characteristics, and even the personality falls under the mind, how we see ourselves, how we think about ourselves. So all these things come back to mind. Now, when we look at a defense mechanism and we define defense mechanisms, and I want to say that the mind, in terms of your personality traits in psychology, is divided up according to Freud's theory into three distinctive development or three distinctive theories of of personality development. And I'm going to tell you what they are. But first, I want to talk about and define what a defense mechanism is. Now, a defense mechanism is or means, it's a means by which the unconscious mind helps a person to cope with situations. Those situations of anxiety, it also includes events of trauma. So when we look at a defense mechanism, and defense mechanisms are universal and they are normal, when you look at how we cope with problems, how that mind begins to function, if we look at trauma and we look at that little almond shape, the amygdala. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If we look at how our brain comes together and how the Lord has blessed us with every aspect of how our mind is developed, Freud goes into saying that there is a conscious as well as an unconscious. So those defense mechanisms that we have are there to help us deal with those problems, those situations, whether consciously or unconsciously, are there to help us cope. So when we look at the definition, it says which the conscious, rational part of the self is unable to resolve efficiently on its own due to lack of rational coping strategies, due to lack of ego strength. And a lot this, the research said, well, this goes all the way back to how you developed as a childhood problems. So again, all of this builds on one another. So when we cannot cope with the various problems that life brings to us, therefore we try to cope with those many vicissitudes of life with trying to develop a healthier style of coping. And those styles can be grouped into four levels, which are arranged in descending order. To the most adaptive to the least adaptive. And I'm going to tell you what those levels are. So a person who overuses a defense mechanism, who is said to be too heavily defended, or who primarily utilizes it, can be less adaptive mechanisms, which will fall between the higher level and the lower level. But let's talk about how we get those defense mechanisms. And I said Freud's theory, and Freud has this theory about the id, the ego, and the superego. And some people may say, well, all that is kind of crazy, or it really doesn't apply. But a lot of the psychology is built upon Freud's theories and his stages of development. And people have studied Freud's stages of development and Erikson's stages of development and have come to realize that a lot of truth is being said in what these doctors and psychologists have studied in their field. So when you look at the id and the the E is the ego and the superego. You have the id, which is that selfish, primitive side of us that wants our way. It wants that part of gratification. It wants it now. It doesn't want to hold off for anything. Now, this is going on inside our body. Now, there's an element of unconscious when people don't really understand why they behave the way they do, because when we look at our childhood, when we look at how we were raised, when we look at the temperament, the traits, and how all of that has been manifested in how we have raised, whether or not is dysfunctional, whether or not we were raised with two parents, whether or not we were raised with one in a one-parent home, all of that has a significant effect on our personality, how we were raised. And we were talking about disorders. We just came out of disorders, and we can pinpoint some of those disorders, especially dependent disorder, if we go back to the overly protective parent who doesn't allow their child to do anything, then that child grows up not being able to be in a grows up and not being able to function, has to be in a relationship and really has to be dependent upon somebody else to take care of them. So Freud has these three components. He said, well, you know, if you look at an iceberg, and I'm going to send you these notes, and give an example of the Titanic. Well, the Titanic, they said the Titanic would not be sunk, but it hit an iceberg and it sunk. And if we look at ourselves in the same iceberg as an iceberg, and we would say, and we would be perfectly, or we could be honest with ourselves and say, well, only 10% of our conscious is sitting on top of that water. But you can only see the tip of that iceberg, but now due to global warming, certainly our icebergs are disappearing. But if we look at if we take an iceberg, we got 100%, we look at that iceberg, only 10% of that iceberg is visible. The other 90% is not visible. So when you look at these components of yourself, then you have, I talked about the id, now you got the superego, and that superego is that parental structure that's actually telling the id and the superego, the id and the ego kind of, the superego is the parental structure that tells you the good and the bad, what you're doing wrong, wrong and right. And the ego is the moderator of the two. So the id say, I want everything. I want to get gratification now. I want it. I don't want to delay my gratification. The superego is that parental structure of good and bad, right and wrong behavior, and the ego is the moderator. So it stands between the id and the superego, which seeks a compromise to kind of pacify both, which gives us our sense of self. And I talked about the sense of self. I've talked about the sense of self when we were talking about the personality traits. So why are those concepts, or why is the id, the superego, and the ego important? Because That's where we get our defense mechanisms from. Our unconscious, that unconscious part of our body, our mind, that some kind of way stores that information and hides that information in the background or in the little part of the brain that says, I'm just going to store this information and I'm not going to allow this information to be conscious to you. So we talked about that iceberg. Now, when we look at that 10% of that iceberg, and we can also state that the ego, the superego, and the id, there's also a concept called conscious, preconscious, and unconscious. And all of that formulates between the id, the ego, and the superego. Once a person endures trauma, say somebody has been sexually abused when they are traumatized when they were a child, and they go through life and they function relatively normal because they have literally stored that abuse in the background or in the unconscious parts of their brain, seemingly to never remember that incident again. But our bodies, our minds is so unique until all of that is stored, because we cannot handle the stresses, the anxiety, the problems that having that be revealed to us would do to us to function on a normal basis, on a normal everyday plane, going to work, raising children, going to church. All of these things that we do, getting up in the morning, driving to work, combing our hair, taking care of ourselves, all of these things would be affected if that defense mechanism, the defense mechanism, was not functioning in terms to help us deal with that anxiety, to help us deal with those problems, to help us deal with those things, those anxieties, those things that have attacked us, or those problems that has attacked us, and yet we cannot deal with them, which will lead to problems of anxiety. So then there was also another person by the name of Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, who said, well, there is also a conscious or ego, which is that part of the brain that represents the conscious, where we respond with our thoughts and our feelings. He also said that there is a personal unconsciousness, and that is where those things that have been forgotten or repressed. So, you know, thank God, children are so resilient. They're so able to bounce back from trauma, and so able to kind of find themselves just dealing with abuse and going to another place. So even if even that person that may not have been abused, but have gone through a difficult childhood or some difficulties in life, we have the ability to bounce back and to forget the past. Bullying, maybe that person was bullying, but the ability, we have the ability to forget it and repress it. And then there's the third thing that he talked about was the collective unconscious, and that is the experience of the past generations that have manifested as archetypes, which we take on as roles that we operate out of. So basically those roles that have been given to us, those roles that we take on, generations that have been passed on to generation. Mama D did it. Now Mama D has passed it on to me, and I'm doing it now. So you make a cake. Mama D made cake by putting these ingredients in it, and this is how I do it. That is a collective, collective experiences that have been passed on from generations to generations. Now, individuals unconsciously want to give into their own pleasures. The ego will say it's wrong, no way. The superego is the parent that incorporates the moral rules that we operate out of. Now, the collective unconscious the collective unconscious are those roles taken on as the hero who has to rescue everyone but cannot rescue themselves. Being the great mother who knows everything and the mask, and put that mask on, which is the role played on Sundays, but Monday through Friday is a different mask. So unconscious, defense mechanism. So when we look at defense mechanisms, when we look at how they operate, so, and we talked about the ego. Now, Freud called defense mechanisms ego, with the ego defense, the ego and the defenses, or ego defense mechanisms. So we're going to talk about those right now. And I also want to state that the id is also seen as the pleasure principle. Again, it wants what it wants when it wants to, when it wants it. And the superego is that person that moderates. And, of course, I've talked about the ego, which that's why it's called ego defense mechanisms, because the ego helps to incorporate a set of mechanisms that whereby we can deal with these problems. So I'm trying to find where I want to go. So basically, an ego defense mechanism becomes pathological only when it persists. Its persistent use leads to maladaptive behavior such that the physical or mental health of the individual is adversely affected. The purpose of the ego defense mechanism is to protect the mind, self, and ego from anxiety. And that's why it's important for you to understand that ego and how it represents and the sense of self. So we have to have a sense of confidence, or a sense of who we are, a sense of self, in how we deal with any presenting problems, family life stressors, and the more stress a person is dealing with, the more you will see those defense mechanisms in operation. So So ego defense mechanisms can thus be characterized by occurring when the impulses are in conflict with each other. When the id imposes conflict with the superego values and beliefs, when an external threat is posed to the ego. The term defense mechanism is often thought to refer to a defensive singular term for personality traits which arise due to the loss or traumatic experiences, but more adequately refers to several types of reaction when one which were identified by Freud's daughter, which is Anna Freud. So you can see that defense mechanisms are just a coping method or coping strategy to deal with anxiety. Now, I'm not going to get into Freud had some beliefs that the id represent the biological impulses in oneself, such as aggressiveness and eros, which was like life's instinct. So basically, it's just life instinct versus death instinct conflicting with one another, which he believed. So, but the defense mechanisms are there to reduce those negative feelings. So the ego might use defense mechanisms, conscious or unconscious, to block the id's impulses. So basically, it's there to kind of keep all of the person that you are in check and deal appropriately with those outside stressors. So we talked about the levels. So defense mechanisms are arranged in descending order of functionality from the most adaptive, which is level 4, to the least adaptive, which is level 1. As one goes down the list, the cost or price of defense mechanism in terms of disturbed relationships, loss of reality contact, or whatnot, increases proportionately. A person who overuses defense mechanisms, primarily utilizes less adaptive mechanisms, is probably least bordering on clinical syndrome. So basically, there's levels of disorders. There's levels of functioning. There's levels of how a person is more normal than the other. So note the rational problem solving, strategizing, figuring out what to do about problems by means of logical analysis, then implementing the solution and taking action set to fix it is not a defense mechanism at all. So we're distinguishing between looking at a rational problem, and that's normal behavior. So if you see a problem, then trying to figure this problem out, that's not a defense mechanism, and certainly the research is trying to get us to understand that. When rational, but here's the thing, when rational problem solving is sufficient to resolve a problem, defense mechanisms are unnecessary. However, a person who overemphasizes the role of reality to the exclusion of emotionality, spirituality, response, and so on, may be suffering from overuse of intellectualizing as a defense mechanism, as a defense, intellectualizing. Thank you. So a balanced person can be a parent or moral evaluator, which is a parent, a rational analyzer, which is an adult, or a spontaneous responder, which is a child, depending on what is called for by a given situation. Many defense mechanisms involve a compulsive overuse of a single ego state. So, let's go into it. When anxiety becomes too overwhelming, it is then the place of the ego to employ a defense mechanism to protect the individual. You know, when we look at grief, when we look at the loss of a loved one, and of course, George H.W. Bush was funeralized yesterday and today, and you see the family as they're going through their stages of grief, and there are five stages of grief, and one of those stages is a defense mechanism, which is denial. So here, defense mechanisms are employed to protect us as individuals. So when that anxiety, that frustration gets overwhelming and is unable to process it or deal with it, then we will employ a defense mechanism. Defense mechanism to protect us. Now, feelings of guilt, embarrassment, and shame often accompany the feelings of anxiety. So, when we're dealing with anxiety, and the Bible says, be not anxious in anything but in prayer and supplication. And yet, God knew, He knows us, He knows how we function. And if we look at our day-to-day lives, if we are truthful with ourselves, we can say that we deal with some anxiety, and certainly we have to help the Lord, have to ask the Lord to help us. And as we are caregivers, I know that I'm a caregiver for my parents, and I know that there are those of my students that are also caregivers. And we look at the frustration of trying to raise a family, the age that we are, the age of our parents, and trying to deal adequately on a day-to-day basis with everything that we have to deal with life challenges, then there are certainly tension and anxious feelings that we have. So because we have that and because we have those feelings, the Lord has allowed us to be able to function in a way that reduce a lot of the stress and the anxiety. And that function, when that anxiety has gotten to is a crucial point where it has gotten us to the point, of course we say, but God, if it had not been for the grace of God on our side, where would we be? And certainly that is the testimony for each and every one of us, that God did it. But God has allowed us to function so until when that anxiety gets to the level that danger. You know, the Robinson family, the robot would cry out, danger, 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 danger. That's the way unconsciously our bodies begin to say there's a warning sign, there's something going on, there is a threat to our equilibrium. We are about to go under. So basically, the anxiety is felt so strong and it increases so strong in our body and the mental tension increases so strong that taking on a defensive action helps towards the danger. So the defense mechanism comes in and it works by distorting the id's impulse into an acceptable form, or by unconscious or conscious blocking those impulses so that that anxiety that is about to give us a meltdown is now blocked with some type of defense mechanism. So get into the level, shall we? So we got level one. And level one tends to be those psychotic defense mechanisms, psychosis or psychotic denial or delusion, delusional projection. Level two is the immature defenses, the fantasy, and these are some of the names of those defense mechanisms. You have level two, which is the immature, and I said number two before, but I'm going to repeat it. So number two, or level two, is the immature defenses, which is fantasy, projection, passive-aggressive, acting out. Then you have level three, the neurotic defenses, which is reaction, formulation, dissociation, displacement, repression. And then you have level four, which is the mature defenses, which is the humor, which is the suppression, with its anticipation, is sublimation. All of those are level four. So I said level one was the pathological, and defenses on this level, when predominantly, almost always, are severely pathological. These four defenses in conjunction permit one to effectively rearrange external experiences to eliminate the need to cope with reality. So the pathological user of these defense mechanisms frequently appear crazy or insane to others. These are the psychotic defenses common in overt psychosis. They are delusional projection, and that is grossly frank delusions about external reality, usually of a precursory, peculiar nature, usually of a peculiar or precursory nature. And of course, those are delusional projections. And I don't think you really are going to come into contact with anybody of that nature. Then you have denial. Now, denial is also on several other ones, but denial is a common one, but it does not necessarily have to mean that you are psychotic to be in a form of denial. So that is a refusal to accept external reality because it is too threatening, arguing against it, and anxiety-provoking stimulus by stating that it doesn't exist. And resolution of emotional conflict and reduction of anxiety by refusing to perceive or consciously acknowledge the more unpleasant aspect of the reality. So when we look at defense mechanisms, and I'm going to go back to that, but when we look at insecurities created, defense mechanisms justify our behavior. The individual rationalizes their behavior so that it is acceptable in their own eyesight. They build their own egos, and when they receive a position of authority, their egos think of themselves more highly than they ought to. Now, we talked about the narcissistic personality disorder. We tied that in, how they feel like they are all that, and they want to be admired. They love themselves, and they feel that they are the cream of the crop. This is how all of this ties in. They boast, and they imagine themselves to be more than they ought to. This is a defense mechanism. So defense mechanisms are any technique used to avoid, deny, or distort the source of reality, anxiety. They're used to maintain an idolized self-image so that the individual can be comfortable with oneself. Those defense mechanisms operate unconsciously to create a blind spot in the awareness. So I did some research, and I had some defense mechanisms that you can find looking at our church and the church and how we see ourselves when we get saved and we have a relationship. And there's so much of us that's in us that God needs to get out of us, those traits and how we were raised and those issues of patience and anger and all those underlying issues that the mask that we wear that we have pushed down into the unconscious, and we use defense mechanisms to avoid the sources of anxiety and even to give us those of us that really we have lost our sense of self or don't know our sense of self. So some of the ones that I have particularly looked at that I'm going to talk about tonight, and then I'm going to open the line up, is rationalization. What is rationalization? And rationalization, let me see, it's on it is on level 3. And it is when a person convinces him or himself that no wrong was done and that all is or was all right through false reasoning. An indicator of this defense mechanism can be seen socially as a formulation of excuses, convenient excuses, or just making excuses. So rationalization explains, one, unacceptable behavior in ways that make them appear rational and socially acceptable. Example, self-centered individuals. It's me. Me, all me, all me, all the time. See how well I've done this project. And, of course, if you got my class on and reviewed my notes on those three personality disorders that we talked about in clusters, cluster A, cluster B, and cluster C, I gave I explained in detail one of each cluster, and you can begin to see how rationalization is used with the one in cluster B, which is narcissistic personality. Now, interjection incorporates into one's ego system the picture of an object as one conceives it to be. Example, if I work every position I can in the church, that will get me into heaven. And that is on last level. That's the mature level. Now, Identifying with some idea or project so deeply that it becomes a part of that person. So basically, that person has to work every position, do every position, because they feel like by working that position, then that is going to get them where they need to be, and that becomes deeply ingrained or part of them, just like putting on their clothes or their arm and their leg is part of them. Projection. Now, projection, and I'm going to come back next week. We're going to really get into the levels. Projection is on level, and I want to talk about regression too. But projection is on level 2, which is immature level. And immature level, those mechanisms are often present in adults and more commonly present in adolescents. These mechanisms lessen distress and anxiety provoked by threatening people or by uncomfortable reality. So basically, it lessens distress or anxiety that is provoked by threatening people. So when we look at projection, projection is the primitive form of paranoia. Projection also reduces anxiety by allowing the expression of the undesirable impulse or desires without becoming consciously aware of them, attributing to one's own unacknowledged, unacceptable / unwanted thoughts and emotions to another, includes severe prejudice and severe jealousy. So, projection attributes one's own unacceptable instinctual needs to others. Example, I need approval, or I need some person's higher authority, someone in higher authority, I need their approval. And matter of fact, if they don't get that person's approval, then they will become depressed. For example, I have here, this is an example, projection attributes one's own unacceptable instinctual needs to another person. So, example, I need the pastor's approval, and if I don't get it, I'm just depressed, or the pastor don't love me. The best one, I am going to another church where I can be appreciated. The best example, the best one or the best example is this person says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go someplace else because I'm just not appreciated. So in essence, that's where you get the severe prejudice, the severe emotions, unwanted, unacknowledged, unacceptable wanted thoughts and emotions to another. And this one is fixation, and it's so many of these, and there's so many defense mechanisms. I cannot really go on and on with all of them, but fixation is unresolved conflicts or trauma results in remaining at a particular stage of development, i.e., I don't understand the fact that God is my father because I have not had one. This goes for men as well. How can you be a father when you have never been taught? Another example is Erickson's first stage of development. I was unable to learn that I can trust my environment, so I am unable to trust God. So that's fixation, and I'm trying to find the level that that one goes into. And it's one. I'm just overlooking it, I think. But those were just a few of the defense mechanisms that we display to deal with those feelings of anxiety and frustration. So it is now 03, and it is my custom around this time to open up the lines for those of you that may have a question that I may answer. So at this time, I'm going to open up the lines. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. How's everyone tonight?
Coming along.
Coming
along. I'm fine, thank you.
Coming along.
Good. Coming along. Well, thank you, ladies, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Was there a comment?
No.
Any questions?
I have one for clarity, just for clarity. As far as with that paper, are we writing one
yes,
paper,
ma'am.
Or is that three? Or is that three papers?
Okay, who is this, Terry?
Yes.
Or okay.
It's Terry.
Okay. For the last one, I had said I wanted you to write a paper from each disorder. But what
right.
I'm going to do tonight, if one of you give me a disorder, you can write it on that one and not do it on all three. But it has to be a different one. So, which one do you want to write yours on?
I think that, what was the third one? Okay, it was paranoia,
narcissistic personality disorder, and dependent disorder.
Okay, I'll take the dependent.
Okay, Terry's going to take the dependent. Myra, which one did you want to take?
What was the other options? I'm sorry.
The other options are the paranoia, the paranoid, and the narcissistic. So you have one of the two. You have a great example in our president. Oh, you didn't find that funny. Okay.
I haven't decided. No, I haven't decided. I've been and chose one. I'm not sure right now.
Okay. All right.
I see which one. No. That's something I have to really, think about. Because I don't think I have neither one of those in my family.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. I chose narcissistic, and I've been dealing with narcissistic personality disorders for a distinctive reason, and that because the leader of the free world is narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he is leading the country, and he has 81% of the white evangelical church behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's that? Who y'all thought put him in office? We didn't put him in office.
Right.
But that who's governing him? And he's clearly narcissistic. If you look at the news, if you look at various forms, but even in the characteristics, even in the traits, even in what we've talked about, that he's narcissistic and he has the flow and the traits associated with that. Now, we're talking about defense mechanisms this last class. And one of the defense mechanisms that I talked about tonight was rationalization. Now, watch every comment that he makes. Watch how he rationalizes his behavior and his actions. That's the defense mechanism. So, Terry has dependent personality disorder, and Myra, I'll wait on yours. Now, I thank you for doing your 16 personality traits. How did that work for you, Myra? How'd you feel about all them questions?
Oh, I had told you I'd done something similar, so it was fine. But thank you for
asking. Fine.
It was fine. Yes.
Okay. But I didn't ask you guys to do that. I kind of wanted you to do the questions. I had a little while ago, I asked, I'm trying to find them questions. In Sunday school, there was Esau and Jacob, and Rebecca had two personalities, distinctive personalities in her womb. And what I had asked you to, what characteristics, what personality traits, what character traits, positive, negative, could you identify that have passed through your family?
Okay.
Positive or negative? Are they nice? Are they go-getters? Are they aggressive? Are they procrastinators? Are the temperament? Are they easygoing? Are active. They tend to play sports. They didn't play sports. They laid back. Those type of traits in your generation, in your families. And then I wanted to know, how have they affected you personally? So we're looking at Esau and Jacob, giving that example in the Bible. We know that if we look at where they are today, we can say that Esau's became the Edomites, E-D-O-M-I-T-E, and
mm-hmm.
his traits was that he was hairy, he was red, and yet you can see still where his ancestors or his people are today. And of course, you know, Jacob became the 12 tribes of Israel. So I wanted to know, how did that affect you? How did those traits or those personality traits, even to you, you know, some people may say, well, you act just like your mother, or you act like your father. My mother often tells me, especially when she have gotten angry with me or done, you know, she would tell me, oh, you act just like your father. So there are some distinctive traits that I have that have been passed on from my father's father to me. Now, how does that affect me personally? And yet there are some things that I can see going down my family line, not just the fact that I look like my folks, but then there are some other traits as well. Now, what are the dynamics? What are the legacy? What are the relationships? And that's kind of what I wanted. With that assignment.
That one in?
No, ma'am. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you guys until actually coming into the Christmas holiday. I know it's Christmas time. Next week will be our last physical class, but I'm still going to give you enough time to the beginning of the new year to get all these things in.
Okay.
Is that time enough for you guys to get them in?
It's fine for me.
I'm going to do my best.
It's okay with you? Pardon me?
I do my best.
You do your best? Okay, do
yes,
your
ma'am.
Best. I appreciate it. All you can do is do your best.
Ma'am.
So that being said, I'm still thinking about what the last assignment will be on this, and I'm going to let the Lord lead me on that. So, but you begin to see how all of this plays into who we are, how we made up, and how God made us. And I certainly, if I could have, I wish I could have put the stages of development in this, and then that will really, 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 really begin, would have really just kind of put an icing on the struggles that we have and how those struggles in our childhood, in our development, pinpoints to how we become productive adults. And certainly when Christ comes in, even though we get saved, salvation is a process that we walk through, because there's so much of us that God needs to get in and weed out and to deal with us on, our personalities, our the way we were raised, even societal norms, how all of this plays to how we see each other, how the traits have come down, and how all of this plays into ministry and how we deal with one another, and even with dealing with caregivers. I mean, I did not know when I was stepping off to do full-time ministry in 2009 that I would have to become a caregiver in 2014 to my mom, who had to undergo major surgery, where people, the doctor said, well, we're going to go in and do a little this and a little that, which ended up being almost like 6 hours worth of surgery. Where she had to have 3 major surgeries in 2 years. And yet, even now, she is weak from those surgeries. And I didn't know that was putting me in a whole new different course, pulling out of me different traits and different characteristics that I needed to be a caregiver, and yet there's still elements where God is outlined and moving and developing and taking me from A to B in an arena that I never could have imagined before. Yet now my father is sick. And so it's a lot that we have to go through, and yet there's ministry on the other side of what we're doing that God has purpose and plans for us. And he takes us through a course of events that changes us in ways that we don't understand until we get on the other side and say, and a light bulb goes off and say, wow, ding. Oh, Lord, you it's for my good. And a song was ringing, and I don't know why I'm going this way, but a song was ringing that I had to download and purchase it from Amazon, and for my good. Romans 8:28. For my good, everything that I've walked through, every situation that I'm going through, every problem, the understanding that he's given me is all for my good, because he's working it out for his purpose and for his destiny, and because he's taking me to a place that I can't see, but I have faith enough to know that I'm going someplace. And he's taking me there. And with the help of the Lord, I'm going to understand myself better in ways that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And even through the course of this test that I'm in, that it's a test, and he's going to bring me out on the other side, because he is faithful and he's just and he's sovereign. He doesn't need my help. He doesn't need your help to work it out, because he is working it out. And that's the promise, lady, that he has for us. Terry, that's the promise that he has for you, that he has you and that he will take you through, and that he has your mother and he's going to do it, because that's the God that he is. If we trust him, if we put our faith in him, he will, he shall, he has, and he is doing it, because he said he would. I can stand on all the promises that he has given me. And Romans 8:28, that's a promise.
Yes.
Any more questions, ladies?
No.
Okay, well, we're going to pray. I've kept you guys on the line long enough.
Yeah.
Father God, I thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I worship and I adore you.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for these ladies. I pray even now, God, that you move mightily in their lives. I pray, God, that you'll bless them financially. I pray, God, that you'll bless them physically, mentally, and spiritually,
yeah.
Father God. I pray, God, that the stresses in their lives, I pray that you'll give them the strength to endure, to survive. You said you will supply all of our needs. Matter of fact, you said that you are refuge and our strength in the very present and a very present help in times of trouble. God, you know their needs, and I speak to their needs. Angels of the living God, move on their behalf, encamp round them in the name of Jesus. God, bless their minds in the name of Jesus. Touch them and strengthen their minds. Strengthen their minds right now in the name of Jesus. I bind the enemy that will come against them to kill, steal, right now in the name of Jesus. God, you said, Jesus said that he came that we may have life and that more abundantly. I speak life abundantly in the name of Jesus. I declare it, God. I declare it because of their faithfulness, God. I declare it because they signed up for this class. I speak new direction. I speak new understanding, even for Myra, in the name of Jesus. Everything that she's studying, I speak clarity right now in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
I bind the enemy that's coming against her family right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no authority. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. God bless Terry in the name of Jesus. Father God, you know the need. God, strengthen her, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen in the name of Jesus. God, you know the financial needs, and I speak a financial blessing right now in the name of Jesus, healing in their bodies in the name of Jesus. I declare it by faith, God, touch, deliver, and even bless their mothers,
yes.
God, strengthen their mothers, heal their bodies, God, strengthen their minds in the name of Jesus, touch their
yes.
bodies,
yes,
God,
God,
you know the need, healing, God, you said by your stripes we're healed. We're declaring and we are walking in the healing
yes.
that you have given unto your children, God. We believe you,
yes.
God. We stand on Hebrews 11:1. You said by faith, 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 faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we declare it, faith. You said by faith the elders obtained the good report. And God, by faith we believe it. Even as they go to
yes.
the doctors, we believe the healing reports right now, God. Whose report will you believe? Well, we're going to believe your report, God, that we healed, delivered, and set free. And we believe it, God. And Father God, bless us as we get off this phone, as we leave this gathering, Father God. I pray, God, that we all will come again on next week, Father God. Strengthen, God, in your spirit. Strengthen in your spirit. Strengthen in you. And God, we thank you, God. We thank and we
yes,
bless
Lord.
Your name. And we're going to continue to give you the praise, because all honor and glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Noah.
Amen.
You,
all right.
Amen.
All right, ladies. See you next week.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. Right,
thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.